Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good wherever in the world you are and whenever you're listening. You are listening to the Power Hours. And this is Reverend Terry Power coming to you live from Northampton, Pennsylvania. And I'm joined tonight, as always, by my love, my lady, my partner, my best friend, Robin.
Hi, honey.
Hey, darling. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, doing okay. So you're still up in the mountains there. And
yeah.
I'm stuck down here at work. We're working away, and so wow. I mean, I came out of work at lunch today, and the rain that we've been getting, melting the snow that we have had, puddles flooding everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty dramatic amount of water.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, it was pretty torrential rain here most of the day, on and off as well. We also had really high winds. I was driving down the road on my way to work this morning, and it was just pushing my car around like it was nothing.
Yeah, well, I was watching the water on the road move around like it was in one of those car wash, blow dryer car washes,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you can see the blow dryer moving the water
mm-hmm.
off of the car, and it looked like the road looked like that today.
Yeah.
It was profound.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And you know, apparently a lot of people had trouble getting to work this morning.
Wasn't just me.
So
mm-hmm.
I got there, and my boss said, "Hey, man, I'm just happy you're here." So it was all good. So tonight we're picking up where we left off. We our series of shows breaking down ritual into its component parts.
Right.
And really talking about each piece of it so that then people can then put it back together in whatever way works for them. And we're going to talk about what works for us, what we do, some of the things that others do, and hopefully people come away from this with a little deeper understanding of each component.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight we're talking about circle casting.
Right.
Last time we started off, we were going to talk about all the preparation and then circle casting, and the preparation should have been ended up being a show of its own.
Yes.
And so tonight is the why, how, then what fours of the actual casting of the circle. You know,
mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago we talked about, you know, preparation and prepping the circle, making sure you got all your stuff, prepping the people,
mm-hmm.
and now so we're all inside the marked off space that will be our circle. But why are we doing all this anyway? Why are we casting a circle?
That's a good question. You know, not all traditions cast circle.
This is true.
So the way you have to ask yourself if it's something that you feel is needed or valid. I do it because I have actually felt that between the worlds feeling, you know, you cast circle and you're not cold inside circle.
Yeah.
You cast circle and there's quiet and there's no wind in circle unless you call it up. It's peaceful and it sets it apart for me. This is now ritual space, and it can be anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Ritual space doesn't have to be outside. It can be, you know, in your living room. It can be in your basement. It can be in your car. It can be as you're walking. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, outside around a fire ring in your yard, same place every time. Although there's some validity and some strength in that to casting circle in the same place every time, but it's not necessary. Oftentimes people feel that circle casting creates this boundary that's not permeable, that, you know, people have to always be cut in and out. And if you have kids or animals, you know, they can't come in and out of circle because it ruins it or whatever. I've never felt that. I've always felt that my circles are sort of permeable to sprite energy, and that would include children and animals. And
I've never worried about animals. Now, I am a little bit conscious about adult humans breaking the circle boundary.
Yeah, I think that adult humans should have enough respect and be aware. But most kids, you know, you can't expect a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old to really be conscious of, oh, it's, you know, it's the circle. They see their mommy and they're going to run to their mommy or their daddy or whatever, a butterfly. Mm-hmm. They're going to chase it through your circle. So you have to sort of make allowances for those sorts of things if you're doing large ritual. Now, if you're doing something small with your coven or you're doing a solitary ritual, that's a totally different story. You can bring down you can put up those circle barriers much more stiffly and less permeably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to touch on a couple of the things you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly all traditions or all, you know, types of magical workers or, you know, people following different religious paths within the umbrella of, you know, paganism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly not all are going to cast circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some believe that all of nature is sacred space, so why am I bothering to cut apart some of it?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you and I agree, and this is one of those areas where we do pretty much agree almost completely. There are other times, so stick around, guys. I mean, there will be times when you will hear us, you know, disagree vehemently at one another.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't one of them, though. You know, I feel like that cutting apart, like you said, there's an otherworldliness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about Little Stone Bridge and the building bridges and, you know, crossing that bridge into the realm of the Holy Ones, where
mm-hmm.
the circle itself becomes a bridge.
Yeah.
It is that place that's not in a place, in a time that's not in a time. And it is set apart in that time or in those moments. It is a bridge if you will, between this world and the realm of spirit and the realm of the Holy One.
Right.
And so, you know, for Robin and I, that otherworldliness of it and the bridge building is a significant part of our understanding and of our practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we will be teaching, of course, you know, tonight, presuming that you want to learn how to cast a circle, you know, comment in the chat room, Druids don't cast circle. Very many of them don't. Most of them don't. I have seen Druids cast circle when they're doing public ritual, and there's a certain expectation of, you know, separating space. But as a general rule, they do not.
Right.
A lot of reconstructionists of various you know, sizes and shapes and types do not.
Right.
And we're not by any stretch of the imagination suggesting that this is required.
Right.
But it's what feels good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it comes down to. It
mm-hmm.
feels good for us, so this is what we do. We're sharing with you our practice, our understanding. We will talk a little bit about other people's, or our understanding of other people's practices. I can't say that I fully understand their practices, but I can tell you how I understand
mm-hmm.
what I see and observe and what I have learned. But that is by no stretch trying to speak for another group or another's practice. So, you know, the point that Robin made about, you know, certainly animals are going to wander in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Children are going to wander in and out unless you wait until after the children are in bed. And then still, you know, cats and dogs are always attracted to energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a dog that would love to come and sit and you know, way up under my altar when I was doing ritual.
Mm-hmm.
That was his favorite place in the world. I would start to cast circle, and he would be right up under my altar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, occasionally come and sit next to me. I have known a lot of people that have had cats that come and attend and seem very attentive to all that is going on and attend ritual. So, you know, I don't count animals or kids as diminishing or dispelling the circle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even positive that adults would crossing the boundary would diminish. It
mm-hmm.
might slightly disrupt. But I think that it's more, like you said, a matter of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, we talked a few weeks ago, we were talking about preparation, and one of those preparations is to, you know, if you got to go potty before ritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the polite thing to do. And that includes the leaders. You know, if you've got to stop the ritual in the middle because you got to go potty, well, that's breaking up the whole flow of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is by no means, you know, limited to guests.
Right.
So the whyness, I think, has been answered for the most part. We do it because there's an otherworldliness to it. It sets apart, takes us out of time and space, and connects us with the Holy One.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else you wanted to add to the whyness?
I think also part of the why we cast circle is a sense of being in something together. Because otherwise it's just a bunch of people standing in the yard, you know? But you want to create a sense of being together, participating in something, being inside together, inside the sacred circle, sort of gives you a camaraderie, and it gives you a common purpose, and sets, and again, sets it apart that this is now a sacred place where we can do, you know, these sacred things and honor our gods and do magical workings or whatever. And also, you know, for ceremonialists and people who are more concerned with, you know, keeping negative spirits and entities out of their workings, that's part of the why, is they feel that they've cleansed the space either by word or sound or however, by, you know, casting salt, however they want to do it. There are many different ways of doing it and many different traditions, down through history. You know, indigenous people type traditions have different ways of doing it. You know, Native Americans use sage and drumming sound. The, you know, the Buddhists have the singing bowls for creating sacred space. They believe that the sound cleanses the air, the physical air. So it's there are lots of ways of doing it. And, you know, if all of these cultures down through history have had ways of doing it, there must be a really good reason.
Yeah.
You know, even see it in Catholic Church, although they'd never admit it, but the incense, the censer, I mean, they kind of stole that from us anyway, but the incense walking down the aisle as the priest comes in is meant as a cleansing, to cleanse his way into church, into his ritual. So, you know, there are all sorts of ways of doing this and how we see it differently.
Now, there is something we disagree about.
What?
I see it, and my understanding of liturgical theology is that the incense actually charges the space. It doesn't drive anything out. It actually brings in or raises the energy of. Now, when I was taught, you know, I was taught to either sweep the circle.
Mm-hmm.
Or use salt and water going counterclockwise to cleanse,
mm-hmm.
and then incense going clockwise to charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so first you clean out the negative energy, and then you go around charging and raising the energy, and then mm-hmm. cast the circle. So, I mean, I was taught that way. And in fact, the old chant that I used for cleansing the circle is so indelibly printed in my mind that you said something about salt and water, and my mind actually started going through the chant.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so, I mean, there is that element of it. And mm-hmm. There's also the element of focusing and containing the raised energy.
Mm-hmm.
To allow it to build and to build and to build until it is released, so it becomes kind of a vessel.
Right.
It becomes almost a cauldron within itself.
Yes.
You know, the circle itself is a cauldron that we create our brew in, and then we release it into the world when we open the circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that aspect of building and focusing and containing, and, you know, like any pressure vessel, it allows that pressure to build up and build up until it's released. And it's released with a certain amount of force behind it that some people believe that improves the effect of the energy raised.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, I'm one of those to a certain degree. I do feel that the energy raised in circle can build because it is contained until we send it off to do its job.
Hmm.
So I do feel a certain building up of the energy within that circle when energy is being raised.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you that it is in some ways a containment, if you will, force field in some ways for that. But honestly, it's always been my experience, and, you know, send your cards and letters to cern.org@gmail.com.
Gee, you got it right this time.
Yeah, I know. send your you know, it's always been my experience that the high priestess, part of my job is to contain that energy and make sure that it's, you know, spinning or doing whatever it is that we would like it to do. That is part of my job, that I am supposed to be orchestrating that energy, and the high priest's job is to be my anchor so I don't get lost in that energy. He's my touchstone. His job is just as important as my job. I can't do my job in circle during an energy raising if I don't have an effective grounder, an effective touchstone, and somebody to make sure that I don't get lost in that energy, you know, mentally.
And that is one of the reasons that we have energetically wrestled in circle, because I have for so many years not had a high priestess to work with. Mm-hmm. And as high priest, as the person in the circle that was most capable, mm-hmm. I have been the one that had to deal with all that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, having that experience, and that's why sometimes, you know, we all, you know, I don't know how many people see it, but we're kind of wrestling with it sometimes, because I'm not used to not used to having someone working with me that can work with me. It is so much fun having a partner. But yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. It was always my job to gather, to help focus, to pull sometimes random energies, as, you know, particularly with newer people, you know, keeping that energy focused and moving in the right direction and doing what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, see, that's more of the high priestess's job in my tradition.
Well,
and how,
again,
and how
I've
work.
Not had, I mean, again, yeah. I've not had that experience to work with
I understand.
Someone else, so I always had to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's kind of fun for us to work together and you see that different way of it. But I still think that the circle helps become a pressure vessel while all of that is building. Whether I'm directing it, you're directing it, or whatever, you're building this energy, and there's that pressure vessel containing it and allow it to make it. To me, it feels like it strengthens it by being contained. Until it is released. And there's a question in the chat room: is it necessary to raise circle when alone? Well, I think the answer that I have, and I'm sure that in this case Robin will agree, is the answer is it is not necessary to raise circle at all if that's not your path, if that's not what feels right to you. So is it necessary? Wow, that's a strong word. Do I personally cast a circle when I work alone? Yes.
So do I. But no, it's not necessary, because, as we said earlier, there are many traditions that don't ever cast circles. So,
some
you know, it's really up to how you feel. And I do workings, quick workings, and where I don't cast circle. For example, if I'm in the car and I'm late for work and I'm going to do a quick working to make sure all my lights are green and that my path is as clear as possible to get to work, I'm not going to take the time to cast circle to do that working.
Well, exactly. That was exactly the example I was going to use. Is, you know, people are being silly in front of me and I need to get going, and I will. You know, call on Ganesha, clear the way. And, you know, that's not, you know, that is a spell. I mean, that is a spell, and I'm putting energy into it. You know, Robin has been in the car with me when I've pulled up behind someone, eased over a little bit, and focused a little bit of energy, and they move over and get out of the way.
Yeah.
That is, you know, that is just as much doing a magical working as, you know, any number of candles and incense and bells and whistles and whatever, and it's done without a circle. So, you know, folksy kind of magic done on the spur of the moment, no, it's not necessary. If I am sitting down to do a full-fledged ritual, even if my full-fledged ritual is to cast the circle, call the quarters, and invoke the god and goddess and sit and listen, mm-hmm. that's still, I cast the circle because I want to create that bridge.
Yeah.
And there's a piece. Cast the circle just for meditation. Go ahead, I apologize.
In a lot of ways, you know, I've told my students in the past that when you cast circle, you're sort of setting aside a portal. You're opening this space between time. Sort of imagine, you know, you've got this floating disc that you're standing on, and you're not really in the physical space that you're actually occupying in this physical plane. You've cast this circle, and now it's this disc of you know, flat or an orb actually.
Mm-hmm.
On which
surrounded
you're,
by a bubble.
Yeah, exactly. You're surrounded by a bubble, and you're kind of floating between space and time. You're out of time and out of space, and so you're. And when you really get good at casting circle, you'll really feel it when it happens. It will. The air around you will change. I can't describe it in any other way. It's just everything becomes quiet, and that's
yeah,
not to say
that otherworldliness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to experience it. There are no words I can tell you to make you understand it until you've experienced it. Which is why this path is an experiential path, and my job, as I see it, as High Priestess. For anybody who does a working for me or with me or any of my students or anybody who wants to be involved in my tradition is to validate their experiences and is to make sure that if I'm running a ritual that they actually have an experience. That is my responsibility, my only responsibility, is to have them have an experience and then validate it for them. That's what happened for you? Yes, I have had that happen for me. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, I've been there. I've done that. I saw that. Yes, this is how it happened for me. And so really the purpose of Circle is to have a common experience together. And when you cast that circle, you're containing everybody inside that circle in order to have that common experience.
That shared experience.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. You know, that it is so much fun the way the fact that we come from very different places and yet we've worked very parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And to come together and, you know, flesh out the subtle differences, but the core is there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll probably still do things in personal ritual that are different than we do together, and the
mm-hmm.
same with you.
Yes.
And we'll be talking about those in the particularly when we get into the quarters.
Mm-hmm.
In the next few lessons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll certainly do those differently. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, there is an importance to circle. It's, like Robin said, too many different cultures throughout, you know, history and prehistory have come together in a circle. It's a symbol of eternity. As well as everything else. So, go ahead.
It's natural. If you ever watch people at a gathering, at a party, doesn't have to be a magical gathering. It can be, you know, a backyard barbecue. When you get more than, you know, three people standing around, people tend to gravitate towards standing in a circle so they can look at each other, talk to each other face to face. It is just a natural way to interact and communicate with our fellow beings.
I agree completely. Well, we have, I think, pretty well covered this part of it. And we are at the bottom of the hour already.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's flying. So, in honor of our guest on Thursday night, we're going to be interviewing S.J. Tucker and talking about some of her music and talking about Caldera Fest with her. I'm all kinds of excited. So tonight we are going to play a song by S.J. Tucker called Firebird's Child. And then we're going to have an ad for Caldera Fest so everybody can hear how they can get in and get involved. I think we're going to play the Peace Prayer tonight. So there's a little bit going to be going on, so hang with us and stick around. We'll be right back after Firebird's Child.
I am his daughter. I am the firebird child.
I am the firebird child.
I am the firebird. I am his daughter. And like the flame, I am wild, 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 wild. I am the firebird. I am his daughter.
I am the firebird child.
I am the firebird child. I am the firebird, the boldest song you've ever heard. And make it wild, wild, wild. Join in the dance and make it wild. To see a maiden dance around the fire is not so strange, but fire dances around the limbs of this uncommon maid. Be brave enough to burn and you'll be brave enough to fly. Join your sister's solace as she lights the morning sky. I am a firebird. I am his daughter. I am the firebird.
one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha Day, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power. You're listening to the Power Hours. And I'm joined by my partner, my lady, my love, Robin.
Hi.
Hey. And we've been talking about the circle. We've been talking about the fly of casting a circle. And I'm realizing that we're going to need to hurry up.
Yep.
As I look at the clock, and perhaps maybe it's time to talk a little bit about the how. We've pretty well covered the why. So let's talk about the how. And then we've got, as we're wrapping up the show tonight, we've got some pretty cool announcements, some pretty exciting stuff coming up. So we'll make sure we have time for that as well. So, my lady, how do we cast the circle?
Well, you know, there are so many different methods, and we talked a few minutes ago a little bit about, you know, some people use salt and water, some people drag a broom, or some people sweep. One of the first ways that I began casting circle when we were on the beach was I would take a broom and walk from the center of the circle in a spiral outward from the center, and then, you know, around everybody who was standing, to include them, and that worked really well on the beach. But it doesn't always work well when you've got an altar and a whole bunch of other stuff inside of the circle. You can walk around the perimeter, the exterior of the circle, three times. You know, there's this whole thing about you have to walk the circle thrice about, three times around. So some people do it that way. But basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to demarcate the boundaries of the circle in some way to give people a visible clue to where it is and that they are all inside the circle with you. And this is important. I cannot stress this enough. The people who are participating and observing your ritual, who want to be included in your ritual, must be inside the circle, otherwise it becomes theater.
I was going to say, mark the outside of the circle outside the people standing inside.
That's right. That's right. All too often, I have been at public rituals where people cast the circle on the inside of the people who are standing about wanting to participate. I have this feeling that there's this, and this is one of my big pet peeves, that there's this thing out there, and I've heard this time and time again over the years from pagans, particularly people who follow a Wiccan path, and particularly people who have not been on their path for very long. This is the thing. I don't want to be in circle with people's energies that I'm not sure of or people I don't know well because I don't know if I can handle their energy. Well, you know what? Learn how to do it properly. Learn how to be in a big public ritual properly before you go making pronouncements about how other people should experience the ritual that you're about to put on. Obviously, other people do it, so go out and ask questions about how they do that. And there are ways of dealing with those energies. I've said this before on the show. For over 10 years, I did open circles on the beach in New Jersey every month, full moon circles, never knew the people who were showing up, never had a negative experience in those 10 years every month. Winter, summer, spring, fall, we were on the beach.
Same here. I used to do a lot of group rituals over in Indiana, at a site over there, and you never know what you're going to get. You know,
exactly.
It's a festival weekend.
Exactly.
You just cope.
Yeah, I just always felt that was the biggest cop out. You know, that I'd ever heard, and I
look forward to your letters.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to get a ton of letters about this.
We look forward to your letters. Now, please. CERN.org@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, I completely agree with you, and we both had very similar experiences in that regard. You know, I've been leading group ritual, you know, easily, 15 years, and I've never had a bad experience. I've had some bad experiences attending rituals where I was, where the circle was cast inside of all the participants. I've had other experiences. But, yeah, you want to make sure that you include the people that are participating in the ritual inside the circle.
Mm-hmm.
And, I personally visualize energy coming from the casting tool and actually drawing the circle on the ground the first time around. And I think that people in the circle visualizing that with the person doing the casting is a very useful thing. We're creating a bridge. We're creating a bubble, as Robin described it earlier. Go ahead.
When you're casting circle, you're not just casting circle on the flat physical plane. You are casting it 360 degrees around you, so above as below, right? Or so below as above, either way. But you're casting it 360 degrees around you in every way, underneath the ground and above the ground, to your left, to your right, up, down, sideways, everywhere. You are fully surrounded. And people sometimes forget that.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes that's I've seen some pretty effective circles cast where they specifically mention the first time around is at the ground, the second time is at the sky, the second time is below the ground. Or the third time is below the ground. So it helps the people that are participating to visualize this. I've seen that done rather effectively. Of course, I've also seen it very effectively done where you stand in a circle, and if you're all close enough that you can hold hands. One of my favorites is simply a heart-to-heart and hand-to-hand. I cast this circle and take the hand of the person to your left.
Mm-hmm.
And let that pass clockwise around the circle. And so the circle is complete.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very moving and powerful experience for a lot of people to have that
mm-hmm.
energy of the casting, the people themselves be the circle, the demarcation.
Right, and that is pretty much the way the Owl Mountain tradition has always cast circle.
You know, I've also seen people that stood in the center that projected the energy beyond the people that are standing in a circle. I've seen a person stand in a very similar circle and cast the circle outward, and it was so clear that
mm-hmm.
the energy was going beyond.
Yeah.
And then I've seen people walk inside the circle of people and cut them all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about what you're seeing in your mind's eye. I mean, you and I have cast circle where we're both holding the sword on the, you know, and pivoting in the center of the circle and throwing the energy out through the end of the sword beyond the people standing in circle
mm-hmm.
with us. And we do that. And, you know, but there are so many different ways to do it. There's not one way that's better than another. It's whichever way you like. We have, you know, in working together, we've experimented with a couple of different types of castings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we'll continue to experiment with them and see which ones we like the best.
Absolutely. But the key is to visualize the energy coming from the casting tool and creating
yeah.
that boundary above, below, and around,
mm-hmm.
creating that bubble
mm-hmm.
that then everyone is now energetically within this bubble that is no longer in time or space,
mm-hmm.
but becomes that bridge between this realm and the realm of the Holy Ones.
Right. And, you know, people often will ask, you know, well, where does that energy come from? That energy comes from basically, from my perspective, I'm just gathering that energy and creating it from the ambient chi, the ambient energy that is always in everything.
Of course.
You can think of it as sort of solidifying the air, showing the energy that's evident in the air. And again, for me, this is where the elements come in. You know, the earth is lending its energy, the air is lending its energy, the wind is lending its energy, and the fire is lending its energy to help you create that protective circle.
Mm-hmm. The force.
Mm-hmm. May the force
be with you. Robin. Yeah. depending on from my own personal experience, depending on the circumstances and what I'm feeling at the time, which very often it really comes down to what am I feeling at the time, and I make no apologies for that. But very often I will open my crown chakra to the energy of the universe, and I particularly pull down. I know a lot of people that will pull up from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't use my energy.
Right.
That's the key part of this, is that in none of these descriptions have we said anything about using our personal energy.
That's right.
We are directing energy that is ambient. I will pull down
mm-hmm.
and draw energy through my crown and then direct that outward.
Right.
And I'm very comfortable working with that energy through my crown. Again, I know a lot of people that pull energy up from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Either is appropriate. Mine is just my personal preference. It may be that solar, you know, more masculine connection. I don't know. I don't really analyze it. I just kind of open myself and become a channel
mm-hmm.
and let the energy be there that is needed. And I never feel depleted after doing ritual because I'm not using from my own personal stores.
Right.
Now, what was it you described it one time, I think, is like the heart chakra becoming like a cup. And it's full of our energy. And then when you draw energy from outside to be used, you're filling up that cup, and what spills out is the energy we direct.
Right.
So that we're never depleting our personal energy.
Right.
We may cleanse it and swap it out some, but that cup is always full of our personal energy.
Right.
And the overflow is what we direct to use in any of our energy work, whether we're healing or, or creating, casting the circle or raising energy for a task, for a goal. We have to make sure that we're not depleting ourselves, because there's nothing you cannot pour or serve someone from an empty pitcher. And if we're serving others, then we have to make sure that we are filling ourselves first.
Very true.
So, let's see, I think that pretty well covered it. I mean, the key issue here is that whatever physical means you use, the energy has got to be visualized and felt. And when it is visualized strongly and felt, and you feel that space and that energy push out to the boundary you've created above, below, and around, you will feel a change. And when you've really done it, you'll really know. It's profound, and it's profound and subtle at the same time. It's so hard to, once you experience it, then call us and explain it, and we'll say, yep, that's it. because that's what we do. But
it goes back to the thing I was saying about validating your experiences.
Yeah, because you cannot get this stuff from a book. You can only get it by doing. You got to do it. We can cast a circle in our on-air rituals, and I feel the energy around me change. It's not about time, it's not about space, it's not about geography. It's about an energetic joining and separating ourselves as a joint unit from from this world and building that bridge. And when that happens, you will know it's happened. And you'll always want to do that. After the first time I really felt a circle, I knew that I had to do circle regularly because I wanted that peace. I've wanted that connection, that feeling of love and connection to the divine.
That I
only get in its deepest forms within circle.
Right.
That's why I very often meditate within a circle. I may cast it quietly to myself and cast the energy about me because, frankly, it's not even necessary to get up and move to do it. If you're visualizing this, then it's going to be real. So with all of that said, we're going to run over tonight. Just because even if we stop talking about circle right now, we've still got some announcements. My lady, your final thoughts on circle and our conversation tonight.
Well, I think that casting circle is something that people should practice, whether they start out doing it just for themselves or they start out, and as you said, and just meditate in circle. You don't have to get fancy to you know, do a whole ritual and call quarters and all that. But, you know, just cast a circle and practice feeling that change in the air around you when you've cast a circle. Practice casting circle using different methods, a singing bowl or, you know, lighting candles in every quarter or singing a song, chant, clapping hands, drumming. You know, there are so many different ways, using salt and water, using a sword, using your finger. Some traditions use nothing but their finger to direct energy. So, you know, do some research, find out what appeals to you, and start trying different methods and see what works best.
Yeah, the only reason we use a sword is because, well, there's two reasons. A, it's cool. Let's just be honest about it. And it's a really pretty sword. But, you know, the sword is the greater tool to the athame. And, you know, traditionally the athame is one of the ways, one of the most commonly used tools for, you know, for casting circle. That whole concept of it cutting, I think, comes into play. But directing energy with an athame is a very common method for creating circle. And we just use the sword because, A, we're, you know, we're using it together, and there's a coolness factor to it. You know, we got that sword together. And it's become our family tool to be used, you know, in rituals. So, you know, there is that coolness factor to it. You know, I want to, you know, my final thoughts, I kind of want to repeat some of what has already been said, but the real key here is just do it. You know, just do it. Robin's absolutely right. Experiment, play. You know, if you want to do the salt to cleanse and the incense to charge, or if you just want to cast the circle, a small circle, if you want to mark it on the ground so it helps you visualize the boundary, or if you just want to see it in your mind's eye. Play with different ways of doing it. But when you feel that change, you're going to know. There will be no doubt. There will be no, oh, I wonder. If you go, oh, I wonder, then it probably wasn't that experience we're talking about.
Right.
Because when it happens, you'll know. So with that said, you know, final thought, just do it. Just do it. Play, experiment. You can't do it wrong. Just do it. So, announcements. I think the biggest, most profound announcement that we have is that we're going to be changing the schedule starting on the 1st of March. That is a Tuesday coming up. We are going to be changing our time. We're going to be moving from 10 o'clock time slot in the East to 9 o'clock in the East. We're moving back 1 hour to accommodate a couple of, you know, for a couple of reasons, but we are going to be moving back to an earlier time slot, which will allow us to be off the air earlier, which is really what it comes down to. We're also anticipating that we might pick up a few more live listeners, but really when it comes down to it, the reason is we need to be off the air earlier. Personal life stuff going on.
The bottom line is I have to get up at the ass crack of dawn to be at work.
Well, see, I was trying to... yeah, so I thought that yeah, I wasn't going to lay it all on your feet, but...
That's all right. I'll take responsibility for it.
Well, no, what it comes down to is my first responsibility is to care for my family and to care for my lady, and she's not getting enough sleep. So it was very easy for me to say, you know, we're going to have to move back to an earlier time slot so she can get to bed earlier, so she can stay healthy. And when she is healthy and anchoring our home, then our home is a better place. So my job is to make sure that she is cared for.
Mm-hmm.
And there we are.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
There is a comment in the chat room, and I'm going to address this to our ritualists. So on ritual nights, what we're going to do is we have been starting the ritual pretty close to the opening of the show. So because some of our ritualists are on the West Coast and 6 o'clock in the afternoon is a challenge, what we're going to start doing is on ritual nights, Robin and I, and possibly some of our other ritualists, will come on the air, launch the show, and we're going to talk about the theme of the ritual or the Sabbath or whatever it is we're celebrating. We're going to spend about 30 minutes talking about it. Then we'll take the break. We'll come back. And at the bottom of the hour, we will start the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And that will give our West Coast ritualists time to get home and get in and ready. And then we will start the ritual about 9:30 Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the conversation that took place with our West Coast ritualists. And so that allows them to continue to be a part, to share their energy in what we have built. And that part was done so we didn't lose their energy. When it comes right down to it, and I'm just going to name names, Shira and Vega have become a very important part of our, really in a lot of ways, Tuesday night coven.
Mm-hmm.
And I was unwilling to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
So with moving back, what we've asked them to do is move back 30 minutes. We will move back the start of the show 1 hour. Now, on ritual nights, we may still run a little late, but we won't be on until 11 o'clock.
Right.
You know, and so that will still get my lady enough sleep so that she remains whole and healthy and happy, which again makes for a better home.
Right, and we're talking, you know, the possibility of one night a month being up a little bit late versus twice a week.
Exactly.
So. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So she is compromising on that night, and our ritualists are compromising as well, so that, so we're all working together like a coven, like a family, to make sure that we continue our work together and still accommodate, changing schedules in life. So
exactly.
That's what the 9 o'clock start time is all about. And so that's announcement number one. Now, the coolness continues because on Tuesday night, the 1st of March, we changed to 9 o'clock. On Wednesday night, the 2nd of March, we launch a new show.
I'm so excited.
I'm stoked. I can't wait for this.
He's been a friend for a long time.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory, I think is her name,
mm-hmm.
will be doing a show on Wednesday night. Talking about, I guess, primarily from an Olympian point of view.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be bringing in guests, but they're not going to be limited to just magical stuff. There's going to be stories. There's going to be, I think, even a couple of people coming on talking about gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of that is going to be part of their show. In fact, they've asked me to be their first interview.
Mm-hmm.
So that week I will be on with them, and we're going to be talking about contemporary myths.
Mm-hmm.
And contemporary stories and how those apply and how we can use a contemporary myth. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then also a somewhat, well, not sad in a way of something ending, but it does need to be noted that Sunday night shows are not going to be on the air for a little while. Lady Elizabeth has asked for and been granted a hiatus from her Sunday night shows while she works on some stuff for herself, and she will be returning to the air and is still a part of the family. She's just taking a short break, so just be aware that Sunday nights will be dark for a few weeks until further notice. And then we'll announce it when she's ready to come back. Let's see. Also, another exciting announcement. So I wanted to sandwich that one in with the others. And I want to end our announcements segment with a note that the 8th of March, We will be celebrating our 500th episode at Spiritual Unity Radio Network.
Woo-hoo.
500 episodes from all of our guests, including back when we had, you know, the Friday night stuff, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we were playing we had Wednesdays for a while. You know, so with all of the changes, that we are coming up on 500 episodes.
Very cool.
And we will be celebrating on the 8th with a reunion episode. And I've spoken with a couple of our former hosts that have moved on, and we're still in, you know, still in collaboration in a lot of ways on other projects, and that may be another announcement coming very shortly. But talking with them about coming on for a reunion episode. So the 8th of March is not going to be a topic. It's going to be getting together with our entire on-air family, past and present, and celebrating 500 episodes and everything that we have built here. So that's pretty cool. And I think that ends the announcements, other than to say that next week, first of all, Thursday night, S.J. Tucker. I mean, that's going to be great. Love her music, and I'm really excited to be talking to her. Really excited that we're going to be meeting her at Caldera Fest in Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
So, you know, just another time you need to hear, you don't want to miss this. You want to be in Lafayette, Georgia, Memorial Day weekend for Caldera Fest, because you're going to look back and say, damn, I wish I had been, you know, and, you know, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
But S.J. Tucker, the next week on Tuesday night is the full moon. And, Monday's the full moon, but we're having our ritual on next Tuesday, the 23rd. This one, again, remember that February shows are still at the regular 10 o'clock time. So 10 o'clock Thursday, 10 o'clock next week. We will be doing full moon ritual, and yes, definitely staying at 10 o'clock. And then on the 25th, which will be the last Thursday of the month, we will be interviewing Mama Gina Lamont and playing some of her music and talking with her also about Caldera Fest coming up. And in case you haven't noticed the theme, all of the artists that we're interviewing on Thursday night are people that are attending Caldera Fest. We're trying to get as many of the 29 guests, or 29 artists and groups that will be appearing at Caldera Fest. We're doing our best to get as many of them on Thursday nights between now and Caldera Fest to talk about it. Gina Lamont is coming up. Then we're going to have Becca Kelso in March. We're going to have Sharon Knight, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Witches Mark, Celia Fora. I can't even read my own handwriting. Anyway, so all of that is coming up in the next few weeks on Thursday night. So some great artists, and we're just going to have a blast. So, Jess, I think that handles the announcements portion.
Mm-hmm.
My lady, would you like to tell people how to get in touch with us?
I think that's it. The best way to get in touch with us is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That's our email address that Terry and I share. You can also reach us at the radio station, which we announced before, which is surn@gmail.org. You also can reach me on my Facebook page, Physical Wellness, Spiritual Health, or Robin A. McKean, either one of those, or on the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page. You can also reach Terry there. You can also reach Terry at his Facebook page, which is that's R-E-V, as in Reverend, Rev, Terry Power, H-P. And I think that's everything.
Yep, except that it is cern.org@gmail.com.
Okay. Sometimes, I don't know what's wrong with me. I can only remember that half the time.
I know. When you were telling people we look forward to your letters, send your letters to cern.org@gmail.com, I was like, yes, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mental block kicked back in after the break.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I love you, baby.
I love you, too.
So, let's see. I think that's about it. I want to thank everyone for being with us tonight. Thank everyone for sharing this time and listening to our experiences. We hope that you go out and make your own experiences. And then email us and tell us about your experiences. We look forward to hearing from you and hearing what you felt when you practiced and you created circle in your place for yourself. So just go out
Absolutely.
And do it.
Absolutely.
And I guess that's about it,
mm-hmm.
except to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.